everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing our show on this Wednesday, March 29th, 2023. Today is the day we honor the veterans of the Vietnam War. Our show now in its 13th year, broadcasting from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, the radio station 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Our live line for our telephone interview is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Without further ado, let's utilize the live line. Go to Washington and United States Representative Juan Ciscomani, Republican representing Arizona's 6th Congressional District, which of course covers Tucson and a large portion of southern Arizona. Congressman, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thank you so much. I was talking to Tom right now offline, and he was telling me that my line sounds a little echoey. And if that's the case, I was in a committee meeting, and I stepped out to talk to you for a few minutes. So I'm in this random side room in the Rayburn building. And yeah, it's a little tight in here, so it may sound a little echoey.
Sounds pretty good to me. Today is a day we honor our veterans of the Vietnam War. We have, I think, over 70,000 veterans living in southern Arizona. And I know the veterans' issues, tackling the backlog at the VA, and also work training program for our veterans. That's right. Have been a couple of issues that you've tackled. Give us a quick overview, if you would.
Sure. Well, thank you, Bill. Again, always nice to talk to you and be able to catch up. I enjoy these regular catch-ups to let you know what's happening up here. A couple of weeks ago, I introduced my first two bills, and one of them was, as you mentioned, dealing with the backlog of that we're seeing on the disability claims for our veterans. You're absolutely right, about 70,000 veterans in our district. And this one is a bipartisan bill, so it has a Democrat co-author as well. And the backlog is really has taken a toll on our veterans, sometimes waiting up to years to get an answer back on their disability claim. And the average is about 410 days, actually. Mm-hmm. So these are men and women that have put their life on the line, and now they can get an answer from the VA in regards to their disability claim. Now, to be fair on the VA, we've heard a lot of good feedback in terms of their improvement. However, this is a staffing issue. This is straight up a capacity issue. Now, with the PACT Act, that opened up more areas where our veterans can submit for disability. So this is only going to get worse in terms of the demand for this. So we had to do something. So what my bill does, it incentivizes law school students with paid internships to be part of the VA. And also it helps with those entry-level attorneys that could also get incentivized by being part of the VA, kind of like Teach for America concept for teachers, but this is for attorneys to give their services to the VA. So that's the first bill that we introduced. And the second one, as you mentioned, it's called the Vet Tech Bill. This is a bill that has been looked at before. It's also bipartisan. It's not a new idea, but it's a pilot program that focuses on technical training for our veterans when they leave active duty service, and now they have an opportunity to be trained to advance in technical careers as well. So what my bill does is now it makes it permanent instead of being just a pilot program, because it's working so well that we want to make sure that it's now permanent. So these are the two veteran bills that you were referring.
And a third bill that you have introduced has to do with the Chiricahua National Monument. You are proposing you would like to see that upgraded to a national park.
Yeah. So we talked a lot also to Cochise County friends and others from Arizona. The Chiricahua Monument is something that is a big attraction for people, that it's beautiful, and most actually thought that it was a national park, people that I've talked to. So it just made sense, and this is, again, bipartisan legislation. This one is with Senator Sinema and Senator Kelly. They've introduced it on the Senate side, and I'm carrying it over on the House side. And this would make the Chiricahuas a national park. Now, what this means is that this will be the fourth national park in Arizona, the second one in southern Arizona. The Saguaro National Park is our only one so far. And it will be the 64th in the nation. So there aren't a lot of national parks around the country. But this one would become that. It would help with obviously protecting the Chiricahuas, but also making it a tourist attraction, and for economic development will be great. So it's really a win-win. Again, another bipartisan effort here that we're working on for our district.
You know, the big issue here in Arizona has to do with making sure we have a clean, safe, and adequate future water supply. So much of the focus right now on the levels of the Colorado River. I understand you've launched something called the Congressional Colorado River Caucus. What is that about?
Yep. Thank you for asking about that as well. We launched the Congressional Caucus here on the Colorado River, also in a bipartisan fashion. In order to tackle this water issue, we have to always prioritize Arizona, but know that we are sharing the water, especially the Colorado River, with both the upper and lower basin states. And it was important to get on the caucus in the same room to be having these conversations and be able to look for a good long-term solution. We know that everyone has to play ball, per se, and come to the table. In a lot of ways, California is the one that is the highest user of water, of course, but also the one that has a lot of the rights. So we have to really all come to the table, and this is bipartisan and bicameral as well. So it includes both senators and representatives and Democrats and Republicans to have a real conversation about our water future. And again, we have to take that seriously, as you mentioned. Water is our most precious resource, and we have to address it because it is uncertain, especially with this long-term drought. Now, we've had a good winter, and we're hoping for a good year, but we're years behind where we need to be in our water levels, and we need to take some action.
All right, let's talk about a huge national issue, and that is what's going to happen with the national debt. What can you tell us? Is there progress being made, or where are we right now?
Yeah, there is progress being made in the sense of us looking at where the spending is coming from. You know, one of the things that I've learned is that people run on certain talking points. And when we come here, it's not as simple as one solution. And one of the things that I've learned as well in this is that one side of the aisle wants to assume that we can get out of this situation with tax cuts only, or the other side with more taxes only. Well, after the briefing that we got, a bipartisan briefing by the Congressional Budget Office, it's clear that the interest alone that we're paying it puts us in a huge amount of trouble, and there isn't just a one-side solution that can work. We're going to have to work with both sides, with both ideas, to get us through this. And the president released his budget. It was about a month late, so we're still combing through that budget and that proposal. But from what I've seen so far, it has more spending. It doesn't really adjust much of the spending or any of it, and it proposes more taxes. So that's not something that we can get fully behind. Nevertheless, it's not abnormal that the first proposal comes in a place where it's not going to pass and everybody knows it, and then you negotiate from there. So that's where we're coming from. Now, one of the areas that I want to make sure that I always let you know and others, that when we talk about the debt ceiling and the budget and things that we need to adjust and look at in wasteful spending, we're never in this conversation talking about Social Security and Medicare. These are two areas that are off the table when it comes down to this conversation. Now, clearly, we need to make sure that we strengthen these two areas of Social Security and Medicare, and make sure they're solvent and they're there for our seniors that are paid into it. And that's going to be another conversation at another time. But right now, when we have to pass this budget and we have to have conversations on the debt ceiling, those two programs of Social Security and Medicare are off the table in those conversations.
You've been holding mobile office hours. You and the staff, the district, your team is holding kind of open house style events to hear from constituents. What are the constituents saying in District 6 about the Ukraine situation? Because it It appears that your party, the Republican Party, there is a split right now about how much aid the United States should be lending to Ukraine.
Well, sure. There are a couple of ways to answer that. One, regarding the office hours that we're seeing, our mobile office hours that we're going to the district and different corners for people that may not have the ability to come all the way to Tucson where the main office is, or they for whatever reason, they don't know that we're around. Quite honestly, many of the people that we've seen, Bill, aren't people that went to go see us, but we went and we set up shops somewhere where the people were hanging out, either in libraries or commute area, common areas. And then they realized that we were there to be able to help them. Others did make appointments and they came over to help. But to be honest with you, most of these conversations that we're having with the people that are seeking our help are regarding their security checks, it's regarding passports, it's regarding just kind of everyday kind of issues that they're not really getting into these more funding on foreign affair issues that you were asking about. But they are equally important, if not more important, because these are people that need these services immediately. And this is what our office is here for. We're here to address all issues, large and big, large and small. But I'm very proud to be helping someone that got their passport stuck and they need to have it quickly. Or again, we need to free up their social security check. These are the kind of issues that really get us going because we make a difference in people immediately. Another one is helping students with their applications for the military academies, which I was able to make a couple of phone calls that some students were accepted after we nominated them. These are all issues for the people that were helping them. So if anybody's listening to this that needs help, please contact our office on these issues and anything else that you have questions on. Now, to answer the question on Ukraine overall, with our party, there is a difference of opinion from some members, and there will always be. I think both sides have a difference of opinion on a lot of things. A lot of the bills that we've voted on and have passed have had bipartisan support. And that's not uncommon in this Congress because we're proposing good ideas. But also we see people breaking away from both parties, both Democrats and Republicans. So this is one area that we're discussing. And I stand on the same way that I have before, that we need to protect our national security, and aiding Ukraine is part of our strategy to do that. And but others are asking questions, and so am I, and everybody is, and that's a good place to be, where you're asking questions on the funding. We need to know where it's going and have accountability for it. I don't think anybody's against that.
I've got about three more minutes with you. How has this transition gone from moving to Washington, D.C. for you and your rather large family?
Well, the family stayed in Tucson, thank God. Today is my four-year-old's birthday. It's the first birthday I ever miss that I'm not there, but I was FaceTimed in at 6:30 a.m. their time, 9:30 over here. And it's been an adjustment on the personal side, no question about it. I was there this weekend, but I was on the ground for about 36 hours Friday night, and I was back on the plane Sunday night. And we're here for a week, and then we're home for about 2 weeks, just meeting constituents and going all over the place. But it's fun. It reminds me when my kindergartner started going to school, and I asked him, Bill, I said, hey, buddy, how do you like school? And he said, oh, my God, I love it. I said, what's your favorite part? And he said, leaving. And I said, well, that's great. So when people ask me what's my favorite part about Washington, I tell them going home, leaving, going back to my constituents and my family. So, but it's fun. It's fun. The family's enjoying it. And Laura has visited a couple times. It's a family affair. But thank you for asking that.
All right. I've got about 2 minutes with Congressman Siskamani here. Mexico, the president of Mexico is really playing down the fact that fentanyl is manufactured in his country. What's your take on that?
Yeah, we have to be honest about this. I mean, the only way we can solve real problems is by addressing the situation how it is. And I am later today meeting with the Mexican ambassador. We have a one-on-one meeting, and we want to go over all kinds of issues, both on trade and commerce, also on the recent meetings and the statements that the president has made regarding fentanyl, and really getting involved in our elections here, from the Mexican president saying this to the press. There are some issues that we need to review. We've always had a great relationship with Mexico, and Mexico is in a prime position, Bill, right now to take advantage of what the void that China should be leaving on the manufacturing side. We need to bring our manufacturing back to North America, and Mexico's positioned to be able to take advantage of this if they want to. So we have a lot of good opportunities, but this denial of the fentanyl production is an issue. It's clearly happening, and we need to address it head on. And I'm going to have those conversations.
What a sad situation with the migrant deaths. What were there, 40 migrants killed on the other side of the border at El Paso? Yeah,
it's terrible. And then you saw some even, of course, in high-speed chases here and then car accidents. This is a humanitarian crisis where the migrants are also dying at record numbers, as well as our people in Pima County, where fentanyl is the number one leading cause of death among teenagers. This is a serious issue, and we need to treat it as such.
All right, Juan Siscomani. And again, if people want to contact you, you're trying as the best, you and your team, to be as transparent with constituents as possible.
Always, always. And the phone number for the office is 520-881-3588. Please give us a call. And you're absolutely right. Transparency and being available is exactly what we're going to continue to do, Bill. So thank you so much for the opportunity and the time. And I look forward to talking to you again, hopefully at home, in person soon.
I hope so. Thank you very much, Congressman.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll take a break right here and talk about, it's always easy to talk about my favorite bakery in town. That's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona and the team, Steve, the owner, and Mona, his daughter, they do such a great job. It's a family operation. They are open for breakfast and lunch. They're open for lunch right now. Again, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They open the doors. People are waiting. It's not surprising. When they open the door, they want the best selection from the bakery case. 6:30 Tuesday through Saturday. Then Sunday, when I normally drop by Mona's Sunday morning, they open at 7. They are closed now on Monday, and their website's looking real good. A revamp of the website, tempting you with some beautiful pictures of everything available at Mona's. The website is monasdanishbakery.com. We'll have more right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. all made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Our thanks to United States Representative Juan Ciscomani, the Republican representing the 6th Congressional District, from stepping away from a committee meeting that he was in. And I think he went into perhaps a closet. But actually, the audio sounded pretty darn good. It was not as echoey as I thought, but came across loud and clear. With me in studio, Bill Doley. Dr. Doley is president and CEO of Archaeology Southwest, a nonprofit organization based here in Tucson. Dr. Doley, how are you?
I'm good today, Bill. Thank you for bringing me into the studio.
Oh, I always
like it. Nice to be here.
I prefer to have you. It's always better, I would say 99% of the time, to have the guest in studio. I did leave out 1% of the time it is not. And you folks may be, well, Bill, why didn't Bill say 100%? Well, we had such a thing called the COVID pandemic, Bill, as you know, and we went pretty much, I've come into work every day during the pandemic, but we did go telephonically almost exclusively, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, but then we let people come back in. Some people actually wore a mask, which sounded okay. But anyway, we heard Congressman Ciscomani, Bill Doley, talking about his effort to make the Chiricahua National Monument into a national park. And I believe he said if it became a national park, it would be what, the 4th national park in Arizona?
The 4th in Arizona and the 2nd one in southern Arizona.
Yeah, so a lot of people are confused about national monument versus park. I mean, if they see the national, they think, oh, it's a park.
Well, Park Service has literally over 400 different units in its overall system, and national parks and national monuments are some of its biggest, most common. But you've got national heritage trails and national seashores. There's a whole bunch of different things. But national parks have to be designated by Congress. Mm-hmm. So that's a really critical thing about them. Whereas national monuments can be established either through Congress or through a presidential proclamation under the 1906 Antiquities Act, which is still an active law today. And another thing that confuses people a little bit is that national monuments in recent times have been both managed by the National Park Service and in particular some of the large monuments, Bear's Ears, Grand
yeah,
Staircase
Bears,
Escalante.
I was just thinking of Bear's Ears. In our conversations over the past couple of years, you've brought up Bear's Ears in Utah.
That is a presidential designation for the BLM, and the National Forest Service are co-managing that with tribes now. Mm-hmm. In terms of, so yes, it's a bit complicated, but I think that we're used to visiting national parks. They're highly structured, usually in the way they let you access the lands.
There's usually a park ranger to greet you as you come into the park.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And national monuments oftentimes have a little bit more kind of freedom to wander around, mm-hmm, and explore on your own. But Casa Grande Ruins National Monument up at Coolidge, it's a national park unit. It's a national monument, and you stay pretty much on a limited set, mm-hmm, of places that you are allowed to, and you would be damaging preciously sensitive resources if you were wandering off on your own up there. So preservation and keeping places for the future is one of the mandates that is critical to the National Park Service.
Bill Doley is with us, President and CEO of Archaeology Southwest. We're going to spend some time after the break with Dr. Doley. And Dr. Doley is one of about two dozen contributors to our program. And we always like to bring Dr. Doley in. And when we come back after the break, speaking of national recreational units, we'll be talking about something called the Santa Cruz Valley National Heritage Area. So, Bill, get ready to explain to our listeners what that's about and how that kind of fits in the big recreation, the big picture for recreation and cultural places in Southern Arizona. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. This is a perfect time of year to do some gardening. Green Things is the place to go for all of your spring gardening needs. 3384 East River Road, beautiful location. About 13-acre site by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. When you're there, not only shopping for beautiful spring plants, look at some of that pottery at their sister business on site, the Talavera Pottery from Mexico. I think they've got the widest selection. And great price point as well in Arizona at Zocalo Village. Here are a couple of websites for you to get you started: greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Green Things, 53 years now in business, and they are open daily. All right, we continue now with our conversation with Dr. Bill Doley. Dr. Doley, President and CEO of Archaeology Southwest, a nonprofit organization based here in Tucson. We call upon Dr. Doley every couple of months. He's one of our two dozen or so contributors on a regular basis to our program. Bill, before the break, we were talking about what a national park is versus a national monument. Now we've got something called the Santa Cruz Valley National Heritage Area. What is that?
So national heritage areas are another element of preserving the past. They're nationally significant and distinctive living landscapes. So it's in the case of the Santa Cruz Valley National Heritage Area, it's a very large area that's focused on the Santa Cruz River Valley. It starts at the international border and encompasses the watershed of the Santa Cruz, which starts, if you think of a map, it starts over southeast of Tucson in Sonoyta, flows south into Mexico, comes back into the U.S. down near Nogales, and heads up to, ultimately the Gila River. And so the heritage area northern boundary is the boundary between Pima County and Pinal County. So that big chunk of land, which also includes the Cienega Valley, where the other big drainage that flows up and becomes part of the Rito and joins the Santa Cruz. So you have this kind of two sides of the Tucson area landscape, the more developed ones where the primary channel of the Santa Cruz is, and these two areas to the east that comprise the National Heritage Area.
So Congress designates, just like with a national park, Congress designates these NHAs, National Heritage Areas, and they are termed nationally distinctive living landscapes. You've done a lot of work in archaeology in this area. Does it fit the bill, Bill?
Absolutely. I mean, the deep history, we're living in a landscape that was populated by indigenous peoples since time immemorial, at least 13,000 years ago.
How many thousand?
13.
13,000?
Mm-hmm. The Whoa. Clovis people go back to that early time frame. And, we still have here the Ottom and the Pascoyaki tribes in nearby neighbors, Apache tribes, and off into, Hopi, Zuni, the other Ottom tribes. So this landscape is distinctive. It's got overlays of more recent arrivals, the Spanish and Mexican eras. And I mean, all of us, I think, have spent some time at Tucson Meet Yourself, and we see the diversity that's in this community. And we look at our food traditions go back at least 4,000 years of farming along the Santa Cruz River. So there's a deep history. There's a diverse kind of customs and ways of people organize their lives. And it's all something that mixes in the various parts of the Santa Cruz Valley National Heritage Area.
And this has kind of been a passion of yours and your organization, Archaeology Southwest, conceiving this kind of idea. It goes back a few years. So the success finally came, Bill Doley, in early 2019.
So it was a long slog to get there. it goes back really deep, too. I mean, I brought you a photograph that was taken on the off of the east side of the A Mountain back in 1880, the year the railroad arrived.
Wow.
And that shows some of the farming. You know, Tucson was clearly an agrarian society back in that day. And it helps to realize, you know, you can go back 4,000 years and see that kind of agrarian setting down below A Mountain. A Mountain is the source of Tucson's name. The Autumn word for the village there was Chukchon, and it has been transformed into Tucson.
This is a great photograph. How did they get such a wide angle?
Well,
of this.
This is actually just a contact print of a massive glass negative.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got incredible detail in it. You can see houses. You can see people actually washing their laundry down along the canals, along the river channel down there. So it's my favorite. I think every Tucsonan should carry it around, actually. So.
And there's a building in the foreground that looks like a multi-storied building.
That's the so-called convento, the San Agustin Mission,
I wish we could have saved that.
Which was a visita, or a place that the fathers came on to visit, who were based at San Javier or Tumacacri or places farther south.
So, looks like it's three stories.
It's just two stories, but it's a massive adobe structure and very impressive.
Tom has a good question. He always puts out good questions, our engineer producer, Tom Fairbanks. Tom wonders, Bill, is this a photo available online?
You know,
is there somewhere that someone could access it? Because it really is amazing.
It's in the original is in the Arizona Historical Society over by the university, and mm-hmm. it's republished in many different mm-hmm. magazines and that sort of thing. One of the things we wanted to talk on today was the management plan for the National mm-hmm. Heritage Area, and I believe there's an image of it in there.
Okay.
But we have it in several of our magazine issues for our Tucson Underground issue of our Archaeology Southwest magazine.
Do people get the magazine?
Well, our website... I believe that this one may even be free now. It's after 5 years, we make them free. And I think if my math is right, in 2023, it should be free.
Okay.
So it can be a PDF of that can be downloaded on our website, www.archaeologysouthwest.org.
Urban renewal, of course, gutted much of historic downtown Tucson. I just said earlier, a few moments ago, wouldn't it have been wonderful if we could have saved the convento, or maybe even at some point, maybe reconstructed it.
Well, I mean, there's been a lot of, oftentimes, you know, progress forward is actually after some kind of a negative event and mm-hmm. you know, people finally get the energy to do what they probably should have done in the first place. But so the Rio Nuevo project, was passed by Tucson's citizens back in 1999, and its focus was Tucson's culture, history, and traditions.
Yeah, a lot of the focus, Bill Doley, was the west side of the freeway.
Yes.
And as it turned out, it didn't happen that way.
Well, the Mission Garden...
Is
one of the key things, and that's one of the things that you're looking at in this 1880 photograph is the walls around the Mission Garden and
which
the
has been
Mission
now
Complex.
Kind of re-resurrected,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. So the discovery in terms of the initial 4-year phase to explore Tucson's history helped to build the momentum for reconstructing part of the Presidio. And to get this Mission Garden complex the walls built. And then in both of those cases, there are new nonprofits that are leading the charge in, you know, making those places available to Tucsonans and making the place vibrant with growing plants or, you know, interpretive living history program. So, and recognizing not just the fact that it's a colonial era phenomenon, it's got a deep, deep indigenous history in each of those places as well.
When we continue with Dr. Bill Doley, everyone's heard by now that Tucson, Arizona is the first UNESCO, United Nations, cultural city of gastronomy. It happened in 2015. I'll be asking Dr. Doley, would that have even been possible if the groundwork had not been already laid down for this whole Santa Cruz heritage area, Santa Cruz Valley National Heritage Area, and a group, a nonprofit that formed in the early 2000s called the Santa Cruz Heritage Alliance? Did they do some of the heavy lifting that led to the city of gastronomy? When we continue with Dr. Bill Doley from Archaeology Southwest, right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Only about a three-hour drive. Time to jump on the motorcycle. Well, that'd be not a bad drive, depending on the kind of bike you had. Hop in the car or truck and head over to Silver City. Perfect time of year over there, Gila National Wilderness. greening up really nicely. Great time to do some recreating there in the Gila, or actually, if you're looking for a great museum, the museum at Southwest New Mexico University in Silver City has probably the finest collection of Mimbres pottery in the world. I have to ask Dr. Doley about that. It's considered right up there, right, Bill Doley?
It's very, very impressive, yes.
Yeah, Southwest New Mexico is their website, spelled out .org for information about things to do, places to stay, and even some great places to eat in a fun town. A lot of Victorian architecture over there, Bill Doley. Bill Doley, the president and CEO of Archaeology Southwest, a nonprofit based here in Tucson. We've been talking about the officially designated as of 2019 after the Dingell bill, named for Michigan congressman, the Michigan congressman, was passed and included and officially then became the Santa Cruz Valley National Heritage Area. And Bill Doley and his friends have worked very they've worked very hard, let's put it that way, to make this happen. And it really set the stage, didn't it, Bill, for the first UNESCO, United Nations City of Gastronomy, in 2015.
Well, there was a big group, and there's lots of people who've put effort into this. There was a big group that formed the Santa Cruz Valley Heritage Alliance, and trying to get this bill passed, beginning in the late 2000s. And mm-hmm. finally, we worked hard on the Alliance staff did on putting together with the city of Tucson, Southwest Center, here a nomination for Tucson to become the first UNESCO City of Gastronomy in the United States. And it was successful in 2015. So that was our big, success until this 2019 mm-hmm. passage. And the Alliance has kicked back into gear and, now has a board and has staff. And they've been working for the last 2 years on creating this management plan, which is the first really important requirement of getting a new heritage area established. So it was just approved late last year,
early this year. I've got in front of me the Santa Cruz Valley Heritage Alliance brochure, which is really nicely done. And it's got a map, right, of everything that's included in this?
Yes, and this is an incredible tool. There's two really important tools I want to, get mm-hmm. across to people. One is the what Pima County has created in downtown Tucson in the old county courthouse, which is their heritage and visitor center,
mm-hmm.
and that's in the northwest corner of the domed Pima County courthouse. If you can get there, you get a wonderful introduction to the heritage area. They've addressed all the themes. They've got a big maps. They've got artifacts. They have all sorts of resources, and that's where I went in this morning and picked up my copy of the Santa Cruz Heritage Alliance's map of the study area, or the heritage area. And it is a remarkable guide. I think you could open this map up. We don't have enough room in your studio here, Bill.
It's really
to open
nice.
Them up. And you could plan your weekends for the next probably 30 or 40
years.
Saturdays or Sundays.
And I almost said
there's
years.
Just a ton of things to do and places to visit. And I think the educational values that the heritage area can provide for people, they're having an awareness of the depth of the history of this valley and how fortunate they are to live in an environment that's so diverse and so, as you go up the mountains, you're in these high elevation sky islands, and down at the bottom, you're in hot desert, but you still have water flowing at certain points along those rivers. So all the different kinds of environments of the desert here, remarkable parks like Saguaro National Park.
And Bill, there's a big event coming up that will really highlight what we've been talking about April 15th. You want to tell our listeners about that?
Yeah. Well, it's time to celebrate the accomplishment of this management plan being completed. So picking a place pretty much in the center of the heritage area, the Tubac State Park, Historic State Park, Tubac Presidio State Park, on April 15th from 2 to 4 p.m. It's going to be an open house. There'll be some, we might get the governor there, but you never know. With invitations to politicians, there will be a little bit of celebration at that official level. But I think what's most important is getting the people to interact with all the different nonprofits and cities and government staff members who are there to share their special part of the heritage area. We'll be there with Archaeology Southwest talking about the early farmers and showing people how they can do some of the things to light a fire with historic tools. And there will be people there from Audubon talking about birds. And so it will just, I think, good food
nice
as well.
Yes. Highlighting really these three major themes that came out from the management plan about desert abundance, cultural encounters, and a community of conservation and creativity. That kind of nails what you all had hoped this would be about.
Yep. I mean, they were divided into many more, themes, and you can see those at the county's visitor center downtown. And I think that environmental theme, it's based on the river that was so critical to human survival, but that whole watershed is what, kept the river alive and healthy.
And why people have been attracted to the area for how many thousand years?
Well, we go back 13,000 years in terms of some of the artifacts out there.
That's pretty impressive. All right. We mentioned earlier your publication, your fine publication, Southwest Archaeology Today, and that's all part of hopefully people becoming members of your organization.
Yeah, well, at our website, that's www.archaeologysouthwest.org, you can sign up for this weekly e-newsletter. It's actually, we've changed its name to Preservation Archaeology Today in recognition of that focus that we have. And you get a lot of the latest news of what discoveries are or how things are changing in terms of the way archaeologists, work with native peoples. Lots of kind of very up-to-date news at that source.
People always think archaeology, it's so much about the past, but in many ways, Bill Doley, it's about the future.
Absolutely. That's where we try to bring the heritage to today and the way it enriches people's lives.
All right, Bill Doley, always a pleasure. Thank you, Bill. On behalf of Dr. Doley and Tom on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everyone well. Hope you all have a great day.